Reading 1 Samuel chapter 12. Samuel said to all Israel,
I have listened to everything you said to me and have set a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I'm old and grey, and my sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these things, I will make it right.
You have not cheated or oppressed us. You have not taken anything from anyone's hand.
The Lord is witness against you, and also his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand.
He is witness.
Then Samuel said to the people,
It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your ancestors out of Egypt. Now then, stand here, because I'm going to confront you with evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and your ancestors. But when you saw that Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, was moving against you, you said to me,
No, we want a king to rule over us.
Even though the Lord your God was your king. Now here is the king you have chosen, the one you asked for. See, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve and obey him, and do not rebel against his commands, and if you and both you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord your God, good. But if you do not obey the Lord, and if you rebel against his commands, his hand will be against you, as it was against your ancestors. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest now? I will call on the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king.
Then Samuel called on the Lord, and that same day the Lord sent thunder and rain. So all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel. The people all said to Samuel,
Pray to the Lord your God for your servants, so that we will not die. For we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king.
Do not be afraid. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you, and I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and to serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will perish.
Give them a round of applause. Thank you so much for reading that passage of scripture. If you come regularly to the church, you'll know that I've been going through a series in 1 Samuel, Ordinary People, Extraordinary God. Last time we were looking at 1 Samuel chapter 28, the Witch of Endor, and the fact that spiritual powers are real. I thought today that I would be going on to speak about David encouraging himself in the Lord at Ziklag, but the Holy Spirit has really led and confirmed that I need to go back to this passage in 1 Samuel 12, which I never covered, and under the title of Samuel Finishing Well from 1 Samuel 12. So it's Samuel's farewell speech. You know, many people make a great start as a Christian, don't they? They hear the good news of Jesus. They make a commitment to Christ. They get filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. They become passionate and excited by what Jesus has done for them. They love to praise and worship Jesus and to serve Jesus. They're passionate about their faith in Jesus. They're passionate about God. They're passionate about God's word, the Bible. They get into God's word. They're full of the fruits and gifts of the Spirit. They tell their friends about Jesus. They serve in church and in Christian ministries. But sadly, not all of them finish well. They start well, but they may not finish well. And the question to each of us today is, will you finish well? Will you finish well? Will you hear Jesus saying, well done, good and faithful servants? You see, it's great to start well as a Christian. It's great to be passionate for Jesus. It's great to be passionate about God's word. It's great to be passionate about the Holy Spirit. It's great to serve well as a Christian. But it's more important to finish well as a Christian. It's more important to finish well. You know, God led me to Bible college in 1982. That's a long time ago, isn't it? Before a lot of you were born. And God led me to Bible college in 1982 to do a degree in theology and an advanced diploma in pastoral studies. And there were 30 super keen Christians who started the course in 1982. But you know, sadly, at least two of them lost their faith altogether while they were at Bible college. And some at the end of their course went back to secular work. That may not have been necessarily a bad thing. Some went into ministry, but they only lasted a short time in ministry because it's tough in ministry, you know. A few ended up falling into sin and lost their ministries tragically. A few of us, by God's wonderful grace and mercy, were able to sustain long-term ministries and see much fruit, and that's wonderful. And I guess I may be the last one still pastoring a church. I don't know, but probably most have retired. But, you know, it's more important to finish well than to start well. It's so important. I know some retired pastors who don't go to church now they're retired. And I think, how tragic. And I just want to honour Peter and Pam Morris here, Pastor Peter and Pam. 34 years pastoring Father's House up in Wathen-upon-Dearn. And you know, it would have been so easy for them to put their feet up and say, whew, I've finished. You know, and live on the glory of those days at Father's House and being the pastor. But you know, here's Pastor Peter at 70 years old, 78 years old, is that right? Yeah, 78 years old, post hip operation, still fervent for the Lord, still worshipping, still praying, still serving the Lord, still getting up early on a Thursday morning, both of these two, to minister to the needy at the Lighthouse. You know, that is wonderful. I want to be like that if I get to 78. Raise my hand going, I might not get to 78, but if I do get to 78, I want to be like that. I want to finish well. I want to hear Jesus' words, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? There are many Bible examples of people who started well but didn't finish well. King Saul in 1 Samuel is one person in mind. Judas, one of Jesus' chosen disciples, started well, didn't he? Chosen by Jesus, but didn't end well, didn't finish well. Some of the people that Paul warns about in his letters, he warns people about certain people who used to run well as a Christian, but now are actually standing and opposing Christ or are teaching a different gospel. There are other Bible characters who started well and had some big sins and failures and messed up big time along the way. But praise God, they still finished well. Amen. King David is a good example. He started well, but he certainly had a big blip in the middle, didn't he? He really did. But praise God, he finished well. Samson. He certainly started well. He was full of the Spirit. Some things went seriously wrong, didn't they? Made some big mistakes. But you know, he finished well. He conquered more Philistines in his death than he had during his life. He finished well. Peter, another of Jesus' disciples, he started well, so keen for the Lord, I will never let you down, I will never deny you. And three times he ends up denying Jesus and running away from Jesus. And three times Jesus had to ask him, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. But Peter finished well, didn't he? Praise God. John Mark, maybe quite not so familiar with him. He started well. Then there was this big row between Paul and Barnabas because John Mark had deserted them on their missionary journey. But later on, Paul praises God and gives thanks for John Mark. You see, he started well. He had a blip in the middle, but he finished well. Praise God. And you know, I want to tell you, praise the Lord, you can finish well even if you've messed up big time. That's an encouragement for each one of us, isn't it? Even if you have denied Jesus, even if you've made some massive mistakes, even if your Christian life is a right mess right now, if you repent of your sin and get back to following and obeying Jesus, you can still finish well. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. It really is. And you can still hear Jesus' words, despite all the failures, despite all the sins, you can still say, hear Jesus' words say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because we're all sinners. We all mess up, and God knows that. There are other Bible characters who started well and kept on going well and finished well, like Samuel in chapter 12. There's no record in the whole book of Samuel that he ever deviated from following and obeying God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for people who are able to persist in that way. God spoke to him as a child, we know. He followed and obeyed God through some of the most difficult and traumatic days in Israel's history. He didn't have an easy time of it, Samuel, at all. It was a time of great distress in the nation. It really was, but Samuel kept on going, praise the Lord. He kept faithful and he finished well. And of course, the supreme example of someone who started well, who kept on going well, finished well, and died well was Jesus himself. I'd like to have broadened this sermon, and maybe I will in a few weeks' time, to actually dying well. Because it's not only important to finish well, it's important to die well as a Christian. Did you know that? It really is. Jesus himself started well, kept on going well, finished well, and died well. And as Christians, we're called to follow him. We're called to worship, obey, and serve him, to start, to continue, and to finish well as a Christian. And Jesus heard those wonderful words of affirmation from his Father God from heaven, didn't he? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Praise God. In 1 Samuel 12, Samuel's coming to the end of his leadership of Israel. And we see that Samuel is finishing well. First of all, in verses 1 to 5, Samuel's conscience is clear. Samuel's conscience is clear. Samuel can claim to have never cheated anyone, never stolen from anyone, not taken advantage of his power or position, never abused anyone, never disgraced himself or others, and never dishonored his Lord. What a testimony. And so as Samuel comes towards the end of his leadership of Israel, his conscience is clear. No one can accuse him of abusing his power or position. Samuel is finishing well. And when I come to the end of my pastoral leadership, I want to finish well like Samuel. And I'm so thankful by God's mercy and grace that I can stand before you here today and say my conscience is clear. I can honestly say that there is no one here in this church or in my last church in London who can say I've ever taken advantage of them or stolen from them or abuse them or abuse my title or power or position. Tricia and myself, under God's grace and God's enabling, have poured out our lives and even our finances into serving the Lord, his church, and his people over these years. I don't say that in any way to glorify ourselves, because it's only by God's grace and mercy that we've been able to do it. Because I'm a sinner. We're both sinners. We're both failures in lots of ways. But it's by God's grace and God's mercy that we have been able to keep going and be able to say, my conscience is clear, as Samuel was able to say that. But you know, every single pastor, every single Christian leader should be able to say that, shouldn't they? And it's one of the tragedies of our days today, our modern age, that almost is rare. Instead of saying, you know, every Christian leader should have a clear conscience because they're serving the Lord. And it's so, so important. It shouldn't be rare. It shouldn't be exceptional. As true followers of Jesus, we should all have a clear conscience. If you haven't got a clear conscience this morning, then you need to have a clear conscience. And, you know, as we've already shared communion, all we have to do is confess and repent of the guilt the sin that we feel guilty about. And where possible, we may need to ask for forgiveness for those we've hurt or harmed or abused or bullied. But having repented, we need to receive and accept and believe God's forgiveness of us. You know, sometimes the hardest person to forgive is yourself. Did you realize that? And we can struggle to forgive others, but sometimes we know how big we've messed up. And we struggle to believe that God has forgiven us. It's so important that we receive and accept and live in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. It becomes a greater sin to doubt the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive your sin. That becomes a greater sin than the sin that you're struggling with in the first place. So know God's forgiveness, know God's mercy, God's wonderful cleansing from those things. But secondly, and very quickly, in verses 6 to 11, we see God's amazing mercy and faithfulness in finishing well. So we see God's amazing mercy and faithfulness to Israel during their history. Each of us, you know, here today, can testify of God's amazing mercy, goodness, and faithfulness to us, to you. You know, that's why we sing so many songs, don't we? Praising God for his faithfulness and his goodness. You know, the fact that you are here, the fact that you're alive, the fact that you are still worshiping Jesus is something to give thanks and praise to God for his faithfulness, his goodness, his mercy. Praise God for all that he has done. We can testify as a church to God's amazing mercy, goodness, and faithfulness to this church over the past 26 years. It's amazing. It's marvelous in our sight as we look at what God has done from a tiny little beginnings into what the church has become today. And it's incredible. It's what God has done. And so we give glory and thanks and praise to him. We don't say, haven't we done well? Hasn't God done well? Look at God. And on the basis of God's past mercy, goodness, and faithfulness, we can trust him for the future. Praise God. He's not going to stop being faithful. He's not going to stop being merciful. Praise God for his goodness and his faithfulness. We can trust him for the future. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thirdly, verses 12 to 21. Tell us, if you want to finish well, don't be distracted by earthly things. Respect, serve, and obey God above all else. You see, God's people wanted to be like the people around them. It's a common problem They wanted to have a king to lead them, to direct them, to rule them, to fight for them. They were not content to be led by the aging Samuel and his sons. They didn't want to be led by a prophet anymore as a nation. They didn't want to be led by a religious leader. In rejecting Samuel as their leader, they were rejecting the leadership of God who spoke to and through Samuel to the nation. The people wanted a political, they wanted a military king who would lead them into battle, someone they could follow in that way, and he would lead them into battle. He would make Israel great again. Does that sound familiar? You know, a king would make Israel great again by his leadership and by his military battles and by his strategy and his tactics and force and power and charisma or whatever. Well, you know, the desires that distract you and me from following and trusting God are unlikely to be a desire for a king or a military and political leader. I doubt whether very many of you are sitting there thinking, oh, if only we had, you know, a king to rule over us, like the Old Testament, or if only we had a politician amongst us. We're not in that situation. It's unlikely to be those desires. We're much more likely to be distracted and diverted by a desire for money, or materialism, or education, or career, or personal pleasure, or fame and fortune. All of these things, you know, that's what we end up chasing about, and that's what we end up desiring. And how easily do we put our trust, our faith, our hope, our joy in those things, rather than seeking and trusting and worshipping and praising and obeying God. You know, if you want to finish well as a Christian, be determined not to be distracted by earthly desires. Rather, do what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you anyway. That's an incredible thing, isn't it? If we take our eyes off the things that we're desiring, actually, and we focus on Jesus, we suddenly discover that God's actually blessed us with the things that we would have desired. And that's certainly our testimony. It's been incredible how God has blessed and provided, to the point where sometimes you're almost embarrassed because God pours out his blessing, doesn't he? It's wonderful. Rather, seek first God. Rather, now, make sure in your life you are respecting, which is another word for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Respect, serve, honor, and obey God above all else. That's why in worship I love to point up to God. You know, if we can't point up to God when we're worshiping, then we're singing songs about me, little me, and I feel so happy and I'm so pleased that God, you know, it's actually him who's done it all. He's done it all for us. It's amazing. It's incredible. He's done it everything for us. Never lose your respect for God. Never lose your awe and wonder of God. Never stop worshiping and honoring God, because worship, service, and obedience for God flows from respect for God, awe of God, and wonder of what God has done for us. In this story, I'm not going to try to do this, Samuel called down thunder from heaven. The people are in awe. The people are in wonder and fear and even terror of Almighty God. But you know, the Bible says the fear, the respect, the awe of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not a quaking fear. It's a respect for God. Do you respect God? Do you respect God in everything you say, in everything you do, in everything you think? No, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you know, it's the fear of the Lord that will stop you from sinning. Did you know that? No, where there's no fear, people just live in mayhem. Why do you think we've got so many problems in our society today? Why are there people going around just murdering people and not even really thinking about it, not even feeling guilt about it? Because there's no fear of the Lord. There's no awareness. There's no respect for the fact that there is an almighty God before whom each one of us will stand one day before him and give an account of our lives. You take that away from society, and society said, well, we can do whatever we want. Doesn't matter, there's no God, we don't believe in God. We'll just live how we want to live. And we will kill how we want to kill. And we'll take drugs or whatever it may happen to be, as we want to do. If you lose the respect and wonder or awe of God, you will never finish well. Because right respect and honor of the awesome God leads to worship and obedience. And Samuel says, after the people have been terrified of the thunder from heaven, he says these words which Jesus spoke every time he made an appearance almost. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Samuel replied. You have done all this evil, and we all have sinned. Yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good. My goodness, we do need to know that, don't we? We go after worthless idols, and you know they will do you no good. Nor can they rescue you. They will not get you into heaven because they are useless. Just get into your head, you know, the next time you're looking at a nice house or a nice car or the better washing machine or whatever, just get in your head that God said it's useless. It's all going to disappear anyway. It's just useless, isn't it? You know, we think, oh, if only I had that, or if only I had this, I'll be happy. No, it'll rust away. It'll be useless. Keep the awe and wonder of God alive in your life, and let's make sure we keep the awe and wonder of God alive in his church. Amen? Amen. So important. It's so important. The wonderful good news of 1 Samuel 12 is, despite all our sins and failures, you can finish well. Verses 22 to 24. Let me just read you what Samuel says. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people. Praise God. Because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. If you're a true Christian, you are God's child. You are God's child. You have been chosen by God. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never, ever reject you. Amen. Other people may reject you. Other people will leave you. Other people will die, but God won't die. He will never leave you. He will never reject you. Jesus tells us in John 14 that he has gone to prepare a place for you. And he will be there to welcome you home. It's a promise of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. But Samuel says, be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. What did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with a little bit of your heart. No. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Praise God. All. And always remember and give thanks for the great things he's done for you. May each of you fear the Lord. May each of you serve him faithfully with all your heart and not just a part. May you always remember and give thanks for the great things that he has done for you. If you do that, you will finish well. Not just start well, you will finish well. And you will die well in confident assurance of your salvation. You know, when you face death, there's an enormous difference between those who have faith and those who don't have faith. I've spent many, many times, many hours with people just before they die. I've been there with many people when they have passed. I've been there when life support machines have had to be switched off in hospitals. I've been with relatives, loads and loads of relatives, just after someone has passed and heard the stories. You know, there's a big difference between a true Christian when they die in assurance of their faith in Jesus Christ. There's a peace. There's a presence of God in the place. Even if they die suddenly, you'll find that God's sovereign hand has been at work. And God can turn even death of a Christian into something that's actually beautiful and glorifying to the Lord. But where there's no faith, no assurance of salvation, it can be a mighty struggle. It could be painful to be in the room because that person's struggling and fighting to hold on to life, and they keep on going and keep on going and keep on going, and it's hard, it's tough. You know, if you believe in the sovereign Lord God Almighty, if you believe that our days are in his hands and not our own hands, what a difference that makes. Amen. I've seen and I know the stories of people who have seen. They're just, my own grandfather, when he passed away, no one knew he was going to pass away at that moment. And he asked his daughters, he was weak with leukemia in bed, he was 84. And he said, he just asked to be touch his feet on the ground again. He touched his feet on the ground again and he lay back and died in their arms. But before that, he just kept on focusing on the corner of the room and he could see, I don't know whether it was angels or whatever, coming for him. And it had such a massive impact on my two aunts who were there. You know, the presence of God can be there. You know, praise God. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Praise God. Praise God. So may each of you fear the Lord, serve him faithfully with your heart and not just a part. May you always remember and give thanks for the great things he's done for you. Finish well, die well. You will hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Lord, would you help us, each one of us here today, Lord, to finish well. Lord, help us to put our trust and our faith in you, that we would obey you, that we would follow you, that we would serve you, that we would worship you. Lord, that we would just know your presence and your power with us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.